Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Crop yields lost due to pests or disease can rake up billions in lost revenue across the agriculture industry. So a Sacramento area startup is listening to plants, in a sense, to better understand what they need and in turn help farmers increase crop yields, reduce pesticide use, and plant with limited waste. The biotech company is called Innerplant. Located in Davis, they hope their plant technology can be a tool to alleviate food chain shortages. Innerplant has seen praise from the ag industry and received financial backing from companies like John Deere. Joining us now is Sean Yokomizo with Innerplant to explain how their technology allows plants to communicate with us humans. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So Innerplant was founded not too long ago, 2018. What inspired this company?
Well, the idea is to do away with some of the inefficiencies in agriculture, and in particular make an impact in terms of increasing the sustainability while also increasing yields. And so the inspiration really came from kind of the age-old image of a farmer walking in the field and, gosh, if only the crops could talk, right? So that's really kind of what we're getting to, and that's kind of the push of our technology.
How did you come up with the idea for the technology?
Well, that's a long path, actually, and it's a funny, interesting path. Our founder, Shelley Aronov, came across some her father-in-law is actually a plant pathologist, and in the lab, scientists have been using a type of fluorescence to understand plant pathology. They express certain things. They have immune systems just like we do, and when their immune systems react, they can fluoresce in the lab. So she thought, wow, this is really interesting. If we could do this outside, it would be fabulous. No one had ever done it before, and a lot of people thought it couldn't be done. So she went on a little bit of a journey and found some people, some physicists over at Stanford who said, well, we could probably do this in the field. The first year or so was proving that. And since then, we've been working on creating the plants that can actually go in the field and do it.
Given that you're located in Davis, I mean, my first thought goes to, you know, you have a huge agriculture industry in your backyard in Yolo County and beyond. You also have a university, UC Davis, that does extensive ag research. Is there a collaboration, or do you work with the farmers as well as, you know, researchers on campus?
Absolutely. So the tie to Davis is strong. One of our co-founder, Rod Kumimoto, is a Davis, taught at Davis, got his degree at Davis. So and there's a lot of talent in that area. If you're doing plant pathology, there's a lot of plant people in Davis. And then there's also a strong agricultural environment there. So we have access to things that we need as a plant company. We need greenhouses, and so we have those available in the Davis area and in Woodland. And so, yes, I think having that area is a nexus of both physical availability of things like greenhouses and the intelligence of people who work there. A lot of smart plant people work in Davis.
Yeah. How do you explain the technology?
So the technology is genetically engineering plants so that they can express an optical signal when they're under stress. And the signal is both early, about 2 weeks before it would express at the foliar level that you could see if you were walking in the field, and specific. So different signal for different stress. So one for bugs, one for fungus, shortness of water, shortness of different nutrients. And those signals are visible from tractors in the field, drones, and even as far away from space via satellites. So if you picture the three largest row crops in the world, soy, corn, and cotton, they're grown on vast tracts of land, many thousands of acres. So the real problem there is scouting, figuring out what's going wrong in a field. So if you have this technology that's visible from space, what you can do is, say you have a 5,000-acre soybean field, you fly a satellite over and you can see, oh, hey, there's a spot over here where we have some fungal pressure. John Deere, as you pointed out at the beginning, led our Series A round, and they're working on really cool technology called See and Spray, which is AI-powered cameras attached to a tractor. So you can imagine the tractor going out in the field and saying, hey, I'm in that spot that the satellite saw. It's these particular plants, and I'm a really smart machine, and I can do whatever I need to do to take care of it. And so that's the chain of that technology that we see.
So you use a satellite in space to detect changes or physiological changes to plants?
Exactly. So that's the real important link that we're excited about, because we're linking the molecular response of a plant's immune system to space-based scouting. And so recently, 2 weeks ago, we announced a partnership with a company called SatLogic. We're building a machine that will be the first ever to detect human-made crop signals from space when it launches in Q4. And what we're doing is we're effectively digitizing crop stress. So crop stress has been there forever, but farmers just haven't been able to understand that it's there or see that it's there. It's unseen because it's the molecular level. So we're now connecting the dots so that you can actually see this. Farmers can take earlier action, reduce the amount of chemicals while boosting their yields.
What are you focusing on, specific crops like soybeans, like cotton, or is this going to be more widespread?
Initially, we're focused. Our first product will be a soybean fungal sensor. And our approach is to focus particularly on the three big crops. So we want to make the most, we want to do the mostest, the quickest. So the quickest impact we can make on a very large scale is soy, corn, and cotton, because those are the three largest row crops. So we're very focused on doing that. We'll do soy first, then probably corn, and then cotton. And then after that, you know, we'll be far enough down the road where I think everyone will be excited oh my gosh, we need to put this in an XYZ crop. And so, yeah, what we're looking forward to.
When do you expect to roll this out?
So we actually have soybeans in the field this planting season, and that will be a testing process. We have our satellite going up in Q4 that I mentioned, so we'll be doing calibration and validation tests in 2024, and then we'll be doing commercial strip tests in 25 and 26 mm-hmm. with a commercial launch right in there.
What are the big unknowns that you're trying to figure out between now and 2026?
Optimizing the signal is pretty much, so we've tested, we know we can detect we know the plants will emit their signal. We know we can detect the signal in the field. And I think right now it's just proving the math. The math shows that we can detect this from space, but we don't have a satellite up yet. So we'll put the satellite up, we'll validate, we'll calibrate, and then it's just optimizing that signal to make sure that we can get it loud, it's early. And importantly, it turns off, right? Because once a farmer takes an action, we want her to know that, oh, what I did works and I'm done now. I don't have to keep doing whatever it was.
Yeah. According to the United Nations, the Food and Agriculture Organization, in 2021, on average, at a global scale, between 10 to 28% of crop production is lost to pests alone. And that number can be worse in developing countries as well. Do you hope this technology can reduce crop production loss at a global scale?
Indeed. Those are the numbers that we're chasing. So if you think about that, I've actually seen some, I think maybe more recent UN numbers that said 40% of global crops are lost to pests, which is a shocking number if you think about it. If you combine that with some other studies that have shown with pesticides at a global level, as much as 30% are wasted through misapplication. And that's about $250 billion a year that farmers are wasting while putting those chemicals into our soil, air, and water. Yeah, I think those numbers are jarring figures that point to an inefficiency in the system that really needs to be addressed. And that's our goal, is to address those numbers to make, create that sustainable pathway. What we need to do, and it sounds a little goofy, is we need to make sure that agriculture is infinitely sustainable. And that might sound kind of silly because it's redundant. But when people talk about sustainability at farming, you know, it's one of those things that we need to make sure that we create enough food for humanity as long as we plan to be here on this planet. And so just doing a plan that will get us there 15 or 20 years isn't good enough. We need to make sure that we address all of those inefficiencies and do it in a way that even with a changing climate, we can make enough food for everyone.
Yeah. Often when we talk about sustainability, especially when we're talking about agriculture, we also talk about climate change. What role do you think Interplant can play in helping curb the adverse effects of climate change on such as drought, for example, to crops?
Yeah, I think what we're developing is a new category of seed technology that's based on data. And the exciting thing about that is there's some near-term benefits that we can see. We can reduce chemical use because we'll know exactly when and exactly where instead of just broadcast spraying over large fields. So those are very clear near-term effects. But data has, if you look at other industries and other ways we've used large data sets, data becomes better over time. And so that's really the exciting part. So when you talk about a changing climate, changing conditions, you know, pathogens shift with climate change. Some, it becomes a sweet spot for a pathogen that maybe wasn't there before. All of that is informed by data. So we're extremely excited about the ability to project that data over time and help farmers and producers understand the changing climate and produce better.
When I'm trying to visualize all that's going on with Interplan and glowing plants, you know, I'm thinking of like Avatar, you know, but obviously we're here and this is technology. If that technology makes someone feel uncomfortable, what is your response to that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, if we are to feed, the UN predicts somewhere around 10 billion people by 2050. We have a changing climate. All of the land on planet Earth that can be farmed is being farmed. There's simply no place else to expand. It's going to get harder, not easier, and we're going to have to do more of it. And really, the only way we can do that is use the technology that's available to us intelligently. Now, I'm not here to say that genetic engineering has been, you know, a panacea. Are there places where it has been misused? Sure, maybe not best use. But I think if we can use genetic engineering in a positive way, that's probably the only way we feed that many people in a changing climate. And I'm talking about the way it's been used by people like Dr. Pamela Ronald at UC Davis, who's created drought or flood-resistant rice to feed people in the subcontinent. That's a good use. And I think those are the types of technology that we have to lean on as we try to feed 10 billion people in a changing climate.
How are you working with farmers to do this research and better understand your technology?
We've been interfacing with farmers very, very early on, since before even we were incorporated as a business. And we've actually institutionalized that across our company through a program called Inner Circle. So these are the top producing farmers, very forward-thinking people. And we're actually bringing them to the table as we design this technology. They informed both the selection of the first fungal sensor that will be coming to market, and also things like pixel size of the satellite. So they're very involved in developing the technology, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure it's real world. A lot of technology will come to farmers and, you know, here's an impractical list of 100 things that a farmer has to do. Farmer probably has enough to do already. So we want to make sure that it works with zero friction so that it's easily adopted and it works well.
And I would imagine the last 30 seconds that we have, that given that California feeds a good chunk of the country and also portions of the world, that this is probably a prime location to test out this technology.
It's a good place to test it out, although I will say that the soy, corn, and cotton, not largely grown in California. So I think our first big impact will be places like the Midwest and South America, where those very large crops with very large impacts are done. And then, yes, over time, I think California, anywhere there's agriculture, I think data traits will do well.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Interesting stuff. Sean Yokomizo is Director of Communications for Interplant, a biotech company based in Davis that is developing plant technology. And with that, that's it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minotta. Insight's technical director and engineer is Mark Jones. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Tuesday. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.